Okay, hi everyone. Welcome to Final Score with the Score. Chelsea 2, Sheffield United 2. Final score. Not really many words. I think everyone's said everything that we want to say about these kind of results. They keep happening. I could go into all the stats that are bad, but I think you probably know them all. It's about the seventh game in a row we've conceded two goals or more. It's against the team that are bottom of the league. You know, it's just unacceptable. You know, this is Chelsea, not a mid-table club. We're Chelsea Football Club. We should not be drawing with the team bottom of the league, and we should not be conceding two goals to the team bottom of the league. I'm going to try and stay calm because I don't want to let my anger or frustration get away with me and start saying things out of anger, but it's just not good enough. And Chelsea took the lead early on with a goal from Thiago Silva, who was back in the side today. Then they equalised. Poor goal to give away, really a goalkeeping error as well. Noni Madueke scored a great goal to get us ahead again, and we held on to that lead until about 2 minutes before the end of added-on time, when we conceded another sloppy goal, point-blank range, really bad defending, and that's it. That's the result, 2-2. So in the space of 2 weeks, we've drawn with two teams in the bottom three of the Premier League. That is not acceptable at Chelsea Football Club. And that is the end of that. And, you know, you can blame, you know, the same people you can blame. It's almost doesn't matter at this point. It's very, very frustrating, to say the least. Up with me today is Chelsea Rambles. Welcome, Rambles.
How you doing?
Well, I'm a bit.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
A bit down after that. I haven't even got the emotional energy to get angry anymore. There's no point. It feels like nothing ever changes. Nothing gets done about it. No one takes responsibility. You know, you get people on Twitter saying, none of this is Pochettino's fault. It's nothing to do with him that we can't defend. It's nothing to do with him that we have no tactical structure and can't control games. It's nothing to do with him that, you know, that we're not organised on the pitch. Like, what does a coach do then if that's not his job? Honestly, I mean, like, it's not, I want to be respectful to Pochettino because he's obviously got he's got history in the game, but, like, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he's doing on the training pitch because it's the same stuff every single week and I don't see any improvement or any attempt to improve things. Not to mention we could only score two goals against the team that have been routinely conceding 3, 4, 5 goals. You know, I mean, it's, yeah. Anyway, I'm just really, really frustrated.
It just feels like one step forward, two steps back all the time. You know, yeah. Last week after the Burnley game, I was thinking, okay, but that's our European hopes done. Then we beat Manchester United, and you think, okay, a very, very winnable game against Sheffield United. We'll beat them, and we'll make up ground on the teams above us. Then we go and fail to capitalize.
Yeah. I didn't even think we would. I don't know why, but I didn't think we would lose. I thought we'd win today.
Yeah, so did I.
I thought not even we can drop points in this game. Surely, you know. I give in, you know. It's, it's just so, so frustrating. This is a game we should be winning. Simple as that. There's no, like, we should have 4 more points than we, like, the last two games against bottom three sides, we should have won both of them. Simple as that, you know. And, there's just no, I don't think, all the things that we're concerned about and that are wrong are things that we talk about almost every week here now. It's, you know, it's kind of, there's nothing really new to say. It's just, you know, it's the same old story. We played a different centre-back partnership today. and we still conceded two goals. You know, so you can't blame. To me, you kind of like it, like when you've got different centre back pairings, and you've still got the same problems. It's not the players, it's the structure of the team. You know, the defensive structure. Like, it's just not there, and it's making good players look bad. You know, it really kind of annoys me that our players are getting a lot of the stick for this when it's not their responsibility to, you know, set themselves up tactically. You know, they're not coaches, and they're young players.
So you pretty much could have recorded the post-match reaction to Burnley and used it for today's game. So it's just more or less the same in 90% of games now.
Yeah, it's just frustrating, and I don't really know what to do, what to say, really, because I'm kind of there's no point in getting angry and having a rant or anything, because it doesn't achieve anything. You know, we are. I don't know what this does in terms of points in the league, but we're on four. We've got the same points now as we got last season, I think, 44 points with 8 games to go. So, the stupid thing is, we're unbeaten in about 7 games in the Premier League, but we've only won 3 of them, I think, or something like that. I can't remember what it is. I think we've only won 3 of them. We've drawn the others. You know, we've drawn against Brentford, Sheffield United, and Burnley. Chelsea don't do that. That's not what I'm just like, yeah, and all away, and 2 of them are away from home. One of them at home. You know, it's not acceptable. This is not Chelsea level. What are you? I mean, like, I can't even ask you play well, like, anymore, because I can't think of anyone that really played well. Like, I mean, Nonny's goal was really, really good. I got to say that. That's a really great finish. Bit of moment of magic. And, but I can't think of anyone who had an outstanding game. And, like, Conor Gallagher was playing on the left wing, it looked like, at one point, and then the right wing, like, that made no sense to me at all. Like, maybe you can explain it. What do you think about all the players today, and the setup?
I mean, I've been questioning the setup for quite a while now. I just, you know, I'm just so disappointed, because I was so hopeful that things would really get better under Pochettino, and to be honest with you, I don't think we're really any better off than.
Yeah.
We were under Potter, and Potter had a disjointed squad. You know, he had a squad of 30-plus players, and a lot of those players didn't even want to be here.
Yeah, and I have this theory that Potter would have done better with this squad than Pochettino has, but we'll never know. And the Pochettino would have done better with last season's squad than Potter did.
We think Pochettino definitely survives to the summer? Because, I mean, pressure must be mounting big time.
I mean, we've got 8 games. We've got 8 games, league games, and a cup semi-final to come. I think they want to give him as much time as they can. I think we'll come to Pochettino a bit later. I think that's an important conversation that we need to have. But we'll do that a bit later. I want to get some people up to speak. We're going to get Jordan up first. I don't know if he was at the game, but we're just getting Jordan up, and we'll get his reaction to the result and the performance, and then we'll go from there. But like, it's just another disappointing result, and you know, Chelsea fans have every right to be upset. I think it's unfair for anyone to say that Chelsea fans shouldn't be upset by that, because it's just not good enough. And you know, and I don't blame most of the players, to be honest. I think we've got a lot of talent in our squad, but I just think we're not seeing the best out of them because of the coaching. And I've had people kind of accuse me of being disrespectful to Pochettino, and like, Pochettino's not a bad coach, right? I mean, you look at his career, he's clearly not a bad coach, but But he's not doing a good job here. I just don't think he is. And I don't think he's, I don't think we can go forward with him. But we'll talk about that later. I'm trying to get Jordan up. We're having problems connecting at the moment. We've got Frank as well. Maybe we'll get him up later as well. But Jordan's up. Fantastic. Jordan, welcome. What are your thoughts on the game?
Not good enough, obviously. Same old, nothing changes. A famous German scientist once said, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results, right? And I feel like that's pretty similar to Chelsea and how Chelsea fans feel. I feel like we're all collectively together going completely insane. We obviously want the team to do well. I think the United game was wonderful. I saw Dan Charles just put out a tweet saying that it was a moment. And I agree with him. I think it was a great moment, but this is who Chelsea Football Club are right now. I think we're an extremely incompetent setup of a club that is getting the absolute least out of a group of unbelievably talented players. I think you could put anyone in charge of this club and the results would be the same, if not better. And it's a real shame. And I just think we're just, I don't know what more we can do, you know? I don't know if Poch is going to go. And if he doesn't go, I don't know what to do. I'm completely out of suggestions.
Yeah, I feel you, I do. Were you at the game? I presume you weren't at the game.
No, I'm currently in the studio working on the old golf swing. But Ellie.
Good man.
yeah. I don't know. I've got the Spurs game here. I think is 10 minutes left. 3-1. They're getting it done. Well. You know, yeah. They're getting it done, and it's Tottenham. You know.
Yeah, I know. It's just embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing.
It's just embarrassing, and like you know, find some shame. Honestly, like. As a club, you know, Chelsea are a proud club. You know,
well, this is it, and you know, those owners—they're not idiots. They're people who mix in circles that none of us will ever mix in, and like they want to be proud to be like, oh yeah, I own Chelsea. Like, no, who would be proud to own Chelsea at the moment? It's a total and utter embarrassment.
Yeah, like it doesn't. This doesn't look good for them. Like that Chelsea are doing badly. By the way, people think, oh, they're okay with us doing bad. They're not. Not only because it loses the money, but because it doesn't look good when you've got an asset that's been winning all the time, and then you come along and it stops winning. Like that doesn't look good on you.
No, right? It's not a good look at all.
So they've got to sort it out. They've got to sort it out. And you know, it's just I can keep repeating the same things that I've been saying for months, year, maybe even a year, about the things that they need to do, but. It doesn't matter because nothing ever gets done. And I know that maybe you wait till the summer, it's better, but like you can't keep saying the same thing. Like, cause it just gets, I get bored of saying it because it's so obvious to me. The people that I don't understand, the people who still somehow think that like are talking on Twitter that coaches have nothing to do with tactical setups or defending set pieces or tactical organisation on the pitch or team structure or like all of that kind of thing, that's not on the coach. Well, I'm like, if that's not on the coach, then why do you bother having a coach at all? Like, isn't that what a coach is hired to do? Like, I mean, I'm not foolish in thinking that, am I? But anyway, it's just, I think everyone's frustrated. Every Chelsea fan is frustrated and they're entitled to be. I don't have any... I have complete empathy with every Chelsea fan because, you know, whatever your background, however long you've supported the club, what we're seeing right now is not good enough. And it's, you know, it's not even where we are on the table. It's just the lack of, there doesn't seem to be any, like, in terms of individual players are improving, but as a team, there doesn't seem to be any kind of structure to our play that you can see that they're working on. There's nothing that's improving in terms of the tactical setup of the team at all. It's the same every week and it's predictable and and we all know what's going to happen. Like I'm in a lot of group chats, and most of them were saying, like, when most of them knew we were going to concede a second goal, they knew it. As soon as went ahead, we knew that they were going to. We knew that we wouldn't hold on to it. Like it's just so obvious with this team. Like you say, that quote that Jordan said is correct. Like, you keep doing the same thing. You're not going to get different results. You're going to get the same results. It's very frustrating. So, okay, we'll get I'll get Frank up now. And get his thoughts on the game. But I think Lyder, we might have different views on how to take the club forward, but I think everyone is frustrated about the same things, you know. I think it's okay to feel that way. I don't think we should be, you know, don't let anyone talk you out of like saying that, you know, that you want something done about things at the club, because, you know, it's because we all love the club. So, right, Frank, unmute yourself. Let us know what you think of the game.
Hey, guys. I hope you guys are all doing good after this game. I agree with most of the points being made so far. I said it last week against Burnley when, at the last minutes of the game, Burnley was going for it. They were not afraid, even with 10 men at Stamford Bridge. And you could see at the start of the second half, their manager, Sheffield United, which so many people are saying so far that they are the worst version of Premier League team in years, maybe in history of Premier League. Their coach probably told them in halftime, they're not, no special, go for it. You might get a win. And then you could see how Sheffield United came in the second half going for it. They were controlling the game until we scored a goal, right? And the reason I'm bringing this up is because it's becoming embarrassing as a Chelsea football club that teams like Burnley and Sheffield United, 19th and 20th in Premier League, one of the worst teams in the Premier League, are thinking this way, because that means you've lost your, tell me that Sheffield United would have dared to come in the second half, or just like the way they did against City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Aston Villa, Newcastle. They would not even dare that, because they would just say, you know what, let's just sit back and try to not make this as less embarrassing as possible. But with Chelsea, they're going after them because every single team is sensing that. And that's, I agree with the score. You know, sometimes I disagree with him in the comments, in the posts he makes, where like blaming everything on Poch. But one thing, you got to blame the coach of not even being able to control the game against this kind of team, you know. And that goes back to structure, because so many times you're seeing players are clueless. They're not knowing what's going on. They're not knowing how to control the game, because it's not their fault that they're playing in a system that does not exist. Like, they don't know what to do. You know, like, the midfield, like, I think one of the commentators, if you're in the U.S., if you're watching on Peacock, one of the commentators said, well, the question was asked, why are Enzo Fernandez and Moises Caicedo, who Chelsea spent so much money on, are not controlling the midfield? And he talked about structure. They can see it. It's just becoming so much embarrassing. And, you know, I think someone here said it, if we fire, that's the problem with Chelsea, right? If you fire Poch right now, then what? We don't know. You're going to bring Frank Lampard again as interim? Or who's going to be next season, you know? It's so many questions to be asked that's going to be left until next season. I just personally believe, looking at how this new ownership is handling business, I don't believe they're going to fire Poch on summertime. Unless he goes on another losing streaks. I believe they're content with this. I believe they believe that if, you know, bad results will eventually turn into good results. You know, they look at teams like Arsenal. But, you know, Arteta, the moment he came into Arsenal, you could see there was a structure. They were just, you know, bottling it because it was an experienced team. But I don't know. It's a very tough situation because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know where this team is going. You're heading to. You don't know. If under Abramovich, you know, this would be the last game for Poch, you know. I just hope the best for Chelsea because I'm a Chelsea fan, but I don't feel any optimistic. But thank you for the opportunity.
Brilliant. Thank you, mate.
Thanks for that, Frank. Some difficult stuff to hear, but very true.
It's hard to know where we kind of what do we do now? Do we look to maybe make a change and get someone in for last eight games? And
I'm almost at a loss at this point. I'm almost numb at this point. I just kind of like, you know, we had that game against Man United, and that was great. That was really great. Honestly, like, I'm not gonna forget that. I'm not going to forget what it felt like to win that game in that way or beat Man United, because I really wanted to beat Man United, and we haven't done it for ages. But that's, you know, that was just a moment. And I thought it would be, honestly. I didn't think it would be a turning point, because I wanted it to be, but I didn't think it would be. I hoped it would be, but didn't believe it. And that says a lot, I suppose, because I'm normally quite an optimistic guy, but not even I had the real belief that it would turn into something great, and it hasn't. You know, here we are. So we're going to bring the wonderful, amazing, legendary Louis Benovetti up to speak. I don't know if you're back from Italy, Louis?
And I am indeed. I wish you wasn't.
Don't blame you.
I could do with some sun now. That was.
Yeah, Christ. Absolutely right. Yeah.
I think the more you sit and you look, I think right now. So like, after hearing what you guys have been saying, I'm not sure how much I can add to that without repeating what we've said together since we started the show in January and what we've all been saying to each other since the beginning of the season. Look, I understand what a lot of people are frustrated. I look at it, and obviously they were talking about just get rid of Pochettino, or, you know, let's just get in a new manager. But the problems at Chelsea are so much more deep-rooted than that. And I think, like Jordan was saying earlier, Dan made a very, very good point, and I was thinking it as soon as the final whistle went, about how United was a fantastic moment. And obviously Jordan and I did the preview for the game, and we were both saying that. We were both going, look, United was fantastic, we need to build on it. But how many times have we said that this season? And then the same conversation started of, have we turned a corner? Is there something there? And every time we talk, something seems to just fall apart in the club. I don't know what it is. It's a roller coaster at the minute supporting Chelsea. And the more you look at it, the more you analyse it, the more you see the issues, the more you see the same stuff repeating itself. And it just doesn't seem to be adapting. You know, when you were talking about Gallagher being on the left wing, I think it was Simon tweeted it earlier, Simon Phillips was looking at it, he was going, why is Gallagher on the left wing? And I had a look and I was like, oh my God, he is. Why is he out there? Like, what's the plan here? You know, we had some excellent options on the bench that can just cause a bit of chaos. Obviously, Palmer got absolutely torn apart because, let's be honest, Sheffield United used the heretic tactics. When I say heretic tactics, Chris Wilder employed some of the stuff that I use on a Sunday, which is, who's their best player? Him? Yeah, okay. Can you just go and kick lumps out of him, please? And then, obviously, we didn't see a return from him. I think one thing that really interested me was the fact that we had Nonny and him playing together, and Palmer obviously ended up floating into the middle of the pitch, where I think we all know and we've all seen that he's not the most effective. And then we saw Nonny on the left-hand side have it no effect at all. And obviously when he switches over to the right, he looks far better. But there's tactical things and things I don't understand which Poch is doing at all. Like Ramble said earlier, you could literally lift the show from the Burnley game and just change the word slightly, and we're going to be having the same conversations. Overall, it's not even, you can't even get angry anymore. It's just, you sit here and you listen and you look and you go, what are they going to do to change it? How is this going to adapt? What's the plan here? And I'm actually really looking forward to Poch's quotes post-game to see if he, you know, contradicts himself once again.
Yeah. I know, it's going to be fun, those comments, aren't they?
Don't you worry, I'll get them ready for you.
Absolutely, I can't wait to hear who he blames this time, other than himself. It's always someone else's fault, of course.
Yeah, always.
And it's always him when we win, right? And then it's everyone else when we lose. So, or don't win, you know. So, yeah, that's what it will be. Again, if he says we deserve to win the game, I'm going to absolutely blow a gasket. He said that on Thursday, and I was like, well, we won, but we didn't really deserve to win. like, I don't know how he said that on Thursday, to be honest, but I let it go because we won. I just don't know what. Yeah, it'll be going to be fun. It's going to be an experience.
You just seem lost for words, Cor.
I am. I've just never felt like this before, really. Like, I keep thinking I can't get any lower and I can't get any more numb. And then Chelsea come along and do
come along, yeah.
It's just, I don't know what to say that I haven't already said. You know, I think all I would say is this is going to sound really, some of you are probably going to laugh at me for saying this actually, but like, I know what they're trying to do. I know their bigger plan, right? I know what it is, but I can't, it doesn't matter that I know what it is because no one's going to believe me anyway. And it's not for me to explain it. It's the club to explain it. And they don't explain it. And they never say anything to us. And they don't tell us what they're trying to achieve and how they're trying to achieve it. And if they did, it would make a huge difference. I think it would. Like, it wouldn't make things completely better, but at least fans would know where they're coming from. Like, you know? And, like, I can see what they want to do, but the execution's not been great so far. And the communication's not been great. And, you know, I know they're ambitious, but they're not doing it very well. And, you know, this kind of, they've got to sort this out because it's like, we're not, you know, and I'm not like, and, you know, I said we get to this topic a bit later. We may as well get to it now. I said that I'm always someone who's patient. I'm always somebody, I don't like change for the sake of change. I don't like flavor of the month managers. I don't like just bringing in the latest fashionable person for the sake of it. I don't like changing managers for the sake of it. I don't think that changing the manager is the magic bullet that solves all the problems. Like, certainly not at Chelsea, it doesn't at the moment, because we all know the problems are much bigger than that. I believe in these players. I certainly believe in their potential. And I think we're not seeing them play at the level that they're capable of. And that's down to the coaching. And I can't get away from that. You know, and I don't want to be disrespectful to Pochettino, but that's how I feel. And that's what I'm seeing in front of me. I can't, you know, I don't think I'm alone in feeling that either. You know, I mean, how can we not, you know, like, I'm just baffled. I'm baffled. How can we play the team that are bottom of the league and make them look like Barcelona? It's just embarrassing.
I think if we go into the analysis of the game itself, this is what I mean. Whenever we talk about the quality of football or people talk about statistics and why we take the mickey on it on the pod and call people stat shaggers, right? The data which the club is using, right? I think today is an example which they should look at and they need to realise the issues. You know, having, 75% of the ball and doing very little with it is extremely worrying. Extremely worrying. And it's a problem which Chelsea have had since before Todd Bowley. I think I'd say arguably since the second season of Conte. You know, we had lots and lots of the ball, but we just never quite managed to figure out what to do with it. And, you know, the biggest issues there need to be addressed, and they need to be addressed quickly. I think there's certain things where we can talk about the players being young, but they've played together long enough now and trained together long enough now to look like they should have some form of dynamism going forward, some form of threat and impetus. And the worst part about all of this is, when we said it before, there are flashes of it. So many flashes where you see them pick up the ball. There's a great passage of play. There's opportunities where they knock the ball about really well. They're direct. They're aggressive. They have no fear. They take people on. And then there's moments like today where I almost feel like whenever they come against opposition like Burnley or Sheffield United, instead of looking at it as an opportunity to gain 3 points, there's a fear to walk away with zero. And that is something which I think today I personally saw quite a lot of. You know, there was a lot of retention of the ball, but very little impetus. And it's something which I feel could really be reviewed and looked at. And these lads just need a pick-me-up. And this is what the worst part about all of this is. If we look at the coaches, right, and people talk about getting rid of Pochettino, the first conversation will be, we need a coach who's good with youth players. Wasn't that what Pochettino was supposed to be? That's what his proven track record is. So with all of that, like, it shows that there's an underlying issue which is even further down the chain. You know, and we were talking about, you know, changing the centre-back pairing, 2 goals conceded again. Okay, so this doesn't come down to the playing personnel. That comes down to coaching and tactical setup. And the quality of football comes down to coaching, tactical setup, and understanding of the squad. Now, I'm not saying that Pochettino... Yeah, no, you know, I am saying it. I don't think Pochettino understands his squad. And the question there for me now is, if that is the case, why is that the case? Why does he not understand the squad? What's the conversations going on between him and the technical and sporting directors to lay out the foundations of what the club should be, how we should be behaving, what the situations are? And then when it comes down to that, I'm talking strictly playing side, off the pitch and in terms of personality, that conversation also needs to be had with the ownership, with the marketing department, who are the ones that dictate that, you know, with the people that understand how shelves should be operating, and everything kind of needs to come together. Like we've said, this is not going to change overnight. It isn't. This is something where it's a healing process, which realistically, one which could have been done across maybe 2 or 3 years if we hadn't rushed it. Chelsea Football Club are going to be in the wilderness for an extensive period of time now. Extensive. And when I say in the wilderness, you know, we'll be challenging for Europa League, maybe just about getting there. Forget Champions League for at least 2 or 3 years. Forget it. Because there's no way, and unless they change their policy of signing players that are maybe, you know, 27, 28, players with quality that have been around a bit, that can help these younger players improve and help them find that courage and that impetus and that understanding. But right now, it's just continuous questions.
I think these players are capable of... I mean, I predicted with this squad that we would get something like 6th or 7th this season, and I thought that was fair.
Yep,
with the squad. And we're not, Leo, and like that's, and that's the, and next year, obviously, you have a, these players have a bit more, have a year's more experience. They are better players, hopefully. You add players and then you try and improve on 6th, 7th, right? And then like steady improvement over the next 2 or 3 years, right? And like, as long as there's improvement and progress and the team are improving and you're seeing a pattern of play developing and you're seeing a style of play and you're seeing, like, I mean, this happened at Liverpool with Klopp, right? It even happened at Arsenal under Arteta. They didn't even qualify for the Champions League till last season. Like, but every season they were developing as a team. They were developing a style of play. Arteta was putting that in place and he stuck to it. Even when they were like, mid-table when they were finished 8th, he stuck to it and the club backed him, right? And we now you can see the results, because Arsenal are probably one of the best teams in the country at the moment. I think I tweeted this yesterday. The question is, who are you going to trust to oversee this? Like, you need a coach that you can trust to oversee this and where you know you're going to get progress and development. And the players are going to improve. And you're going to see a style of play develop. You're going to see the mentality of the team improve over time. You're going to see, and you're going to see performance levels improve over time. And we're not seeing that. We're seeing players, individual players improve. like I think we are anyway, but we're not seeing the team improve as a unit. Like there's, you know, there's nothing there. There's no identity there. I don't see an identity at all. The last time we had an identity was when Thomas Tuchel was Chelsea manager. We haven't really had an identity since then, in my view. Like, and it's, you know, it's just so frustrating. It's so frustrating because it's not as difficult as they're making it out to be, in my view. Like, I don't blame them for hiring Pochettino because his track record at developing young talent is very, very good, and building young teams. His track record in the Premier League is very, very good. So I don't blame them for hiring him. I wasn't against us hiring him, and I didn't think it would end up like this at all. Well, I've had to swallow my pride and admit, you know, I was wrong. You know, I thought Pochettino would be a good appointment. I thought he would be someone that could stick around for a while and really build a team, you know, but I'm not seeing anything I expected. And I've had to admit I'm wrong. And the club need to admit that. Because I think the players are in a comfort zone under Pochettino as well. Because I don't like that. He talked about them being in the comfort zone. Well, the comfort zone is him. Because he doesn't push them hard enough. He's like, you know, he lets them get away with performances like today, you know, and like, he's not, I don't think, you know, it's a difficult job. The Chelsea job is a difficult job. It's one of the most difficult jobs in football, not just because of the expectations of the fans, you know, the amount of young talent, this ridiculous policy they've got. Chelsea linked with another 16-year-old the other day. Great, that'll solve our problems like next season, won't it? Like, you know, this ridiculous policy and then the kind of desire for immediate results from fans and the pressure from the outside, you know, the pressure from inside. Like, it's a very difficult job. And I, you know, anyone who takes it on, I always, like, fair play to them because it's not an easy job to do. And especially at the moment. And, you know, you're going to, and then you've got to say, and then, of course, you've got to say the right things in press conferences. You've got to make a connection with the fans. You've got to make an effort to connect with the fans. You've got to understand the fans' mentality and, you know, make that effort. And all those other things. Like, it's almost like a politician. Like, it's almost like being a politician as well as a coach, because it's, you're representing the whole club and to the fan base. You know, and fans have high expectations. To be honest, I don't think top six or top seven was a high expectation this season.
I think it was.
I don't think.
I didn't think we were ready, and I thought we'd be about where we are now, to be honest. But I just didn't think that we'd be as inconsistent. I thought there'd be elements of consistency to things where we'd see a pattern.
If you finish mid-table, then you are inconsistent. I mean, that's just part of being mid-table.
Yeah. I guess so. But then with that, though, like, you made the thing you were saying about, you know, we don't know what Poch is doing. How could he push people more? Like, for you, you are in that position. You are sitting down at Chelsea, right? And we're having that conversation with Pochettino. You know, we don't just want to make statements. We want to sit and be like, okay, like, as much as we think that things aren't being done, what would we do differently? How would you adapt it?
I'm not a coach.
How can you do it?
I'm not a qualified coach. That's not my...
No, but school you're not. But you watch enough football and there's no discredibility to you.
It's like they can get away with bad performances. They can get, raising the standard in training, raising the expectation level of the players, making... like dropping players after poor performances, like make it like it shouldn't be easy to get in the Chelsea team. You have to earn it, right? Quite frankly, the only person that's really earning it right now is Cole Palmer. Right?
I mean, it doesn't feel to me like Pochettino has much authority. I mean, he hasn't even assigned a proper penalty taker.
Yeah, I mean that's a weird thing to me. Like that's a lack of leadership.
Okay, but there you go. That's the first thing when we look at it and say, what do you want to see? You want to see a more aggressive form of leadership. You want to see someone actually put, laying down their authority.
I don't want a disciplinarian kind of like who's nasty all the time, but I want someone who's not going to just be nice all the time. You know, yeah. And Pochettino's a nice guy, right? Like he's, you know, I don't dislike him as a person, like at all. And he's a good man manager. That's one of his best traits. And you can see the togetherness in the team, like that you saw on Thursday. They're clearly all together. There's clearly a good spirit. But, like, you know, I don't know.
I also think the poor discipline comes to the manager as well, because that's something the manager can nip in the bud. We've got so many stupid yellow cards this season. We've lost our call so many times in games.
Yeah, I mean,
But then that comes with youngsters. That comes with having kids.
I agree, Louis. That's part of having young players. They're going to be a bit more reckless and, you know, than they would be when they get older. Like, I mean, Frank Lampard got sent off in his third or fourth game for Chelsea. He was like 22 years old, and I don't think he ever got sent off for Chelsea again, or once, and it wasn't a sending off. Like, but he was young. He was a bit reckless. He got into a bit of a fight on the pitch, you know, and he did some other stuff in his first season at Chelsea behind the scenes, which he was all over the papers as well after 9/11. There was some stuff by the players that shouldn't have happened, but he was young. Like, you know, you're more reckless when you're young. You're more likely to make those kind of mistakes, right? But good players learn from that and they mature and they develop. And part of that is whoever's coaching them, because they help them develop, they help them mature, they manage them, right? But part of that is their own just natural development as a person. As you get older, you stop being so, well, most players get that out of their game by the time they're a bit older, right? And you stop making those reckless tackles and these players are young, you know, outside Thiago Silva, I mean, who was over 30 in that team today? I don't think anyone was, were they?
You could say it a lot this season as well, couldn't you? This is the problem, like... what we've got is a coach who likes to put a lot of power into young people's hands, which I guess is a good thing. But then at the same time, he puts too much. I think he gives them too much free leeway almost to make their own decisions. I think they do need to be guided down a path sometimes and sort of just be told, okay, like, I get why this is working. I get why you want to do this. But this is what we're doing. This is the vision. This is where everything's going. And you just need to see that consistent growth. And like you said, I think Arsenal is a very good example of the first bit of the process in recent years. I'm saying that the first bit because they, guess what? They've not won anything worthy yet, anything of note. It's all well and good being in a title charge, but you need to finish it up. But in terms of that first bit, like you said, it's the consistent growth. And... As much as I take the mickey out of Arteta, he did create this siege mentality and has this mentality within him which rubs off on the players and in the press, where he does push people, but he still has that nurturing capability. I don't see that in Mauricio Pochettino. And I think the whole purpose, if you look at Arsenal, why... Arsenal fans are so connected again, and you know, even if they are cringy about it and they talk about having their Arsenal back and whatever, they've got something they can connect with somebody who understands who they are and where they're going. I don't think Mauricio Pochettino has done enough for me personally to really connect with the club and connect with who we are, I get there's the whole who we were thing. But there is a culture understanding at Chelsea. There is and I'm not talking about the expectations. I'm just talking about what the club has been for the past 25 years. And people can say before that, X, Y, and Z, Chelsea didn't win a thing, et cetera, whatever. That 25 years has created a culture shift at Chelsea and created an identity which is supposed to stick to go forward. And
yeah.
Having the cop out of this is a new project, this is a new Chelsea, etc., but then changing how we talk, saying we need to behave more like Chelsea, or the club going, we have got our new project doing what we want to do, but we still want to be Chelsea. It's like, okay, well, guys, we just want a clear message. We just need an understanding of where we're going. Because the big thing, which I haven't mentioned yet, which Arsenal did, which Liverpool did, which City did, which every major club which has gone through a major rebuild has done over the past 25 years when they've had to do it, the ones that have been successful have had a clear communication with what they're doing and everyone understands the process and where they're developing. The only time where that wasn't the case for me was that first little bit with Arsenal a couple of years ago when they did sign a load of kids and they weren't really picking up the results. But guess what? They adapted, they changed, they brought in those one or two older heads, Jorginho, for example, or whoever, to maybe won't play as much, but was a seasoned enough player with enough experience to guide those younger players into the right places.
Yep.
And they had an understanding of the culture and the identity. Yep. That is the biggest thing we didn't have.
And also, I think the thing with Arteta as well, Arteta played for Arsenal, right? He's well respected as a player at Arsenal. He already knew, he already felt the club. He loved the club. He understood the club. He knew the expectations of the club before he went in there. Right, and you're right. I can see, you can see the nastiness in it. You can see that, can't you? You can see that kind of edge to him. You know, it's the hunger to win. You know, it's. I mean, I've been watching this Man City documentary this week. I went on Netflix, and like, there's a lot of team talks in there from Pep when they're not winning. And my word, man, that guy, like, he is an absolute, you know, winner. Like, he doesn't mess about when his team don't perform. Like, you know, and he's not afraid to embarrass them in front, like, to humiliate them, basically, to have a right go at them and dress them down in the dressing room, you know? And I know he's Pep Guardiola, he can get away with it. But that's, like, but when I saw that, I thought, I respect that. Like,
okay, yeah. but
and the players responded to it as well. They didn't down tools. They actually got better because of it. And
but Pep and Klopp didn't play. Well, Pep didn't play for City. I know, and Klopp didn't play for Liverpool.
But I'm not saying that they did. I'm just trying to talk about what a good, like, the mentality of a manager. That you want in a dressing room, right? That someone who's not going to, like, say, "Oh well, boys, it doesn't matter. We don't, like, you know, we'll have another game," you know. I just shared a tweet, actually. Madueke said that the dressing room is pretty much silent at the moment. The mood is not good in the dressing room after that game, which I'm glad about, because it shouldn't be good after that. I'm glad they're not happy about it, because they shouldn't be. We'll see what happens, I guess. We all have our concerns about Chelsea, and they're all not. I don't think any of them are going to change until we really can see that they actually are changing, right? We've got a new guy coming up. We've got Paul Kelly. I'm going to bring him up and to get his views. It'd be good to get a different perspective on the game and on Chelsea generally. I think all of us are just frustrated, you know, and emotional, and understandably so. So, Paul, what are your thoughts?
Hi there, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just driving back from the game, and I agree with your point on Poch. I think the problem is the Spurs thing is always going to be a tag for him, unfortunately. You know, as Chelsea fans, we hate Spurs, and that was always something that was always going to come up when things go wrong and things. And I think in that game today, so many times, and we've seen it so many times before, where we are literally passing it for the sake of passing it. We will just pass it across the back. We'll pass it wide. It'll go back again. It'll go wide. It'll go back to the centre-halves again. And we just don't seem to have any idea of what we're going to do. There's no seem. I know it's the right thing to say, but sometimes I think, like, what do we do in training? What's he working on? Where's our patterns of play? You know, what are we trying to do? I appreciate that some players are playing out of position, and, you know, he relies on fullbacks in the past at Spurs and stuff in Southampton, and we haven't got them. Our guys, unfortunately, are always injured in those positions. But it just seems to me that we get into, you know, sometimes in a good position, we're 1-0 up, you know, we should be controlling that game, you know, pushing on, trying to get the second goal. And it's almost like we just sit there thinking, oh, the game's done. We can just relax now. And the amount of times, like I said, I repeat myself, but we just pass it into midfield, back to the centre-half, goes wide, into midfield, back to the centre-half again. And we're just doing nothing. So I just wonder what he's actually doing during the week. I know they played Thursday, so there's not much to do this week. But, you know, where's the patterns of play? Where's the identity? I can't see an identity of how we're trying to play at all. If there's something there to hang on to, he'd go, well, look, you know, we're not doing great, but we can see what he's trying to do. He's trying to play in this way, you know, whatever it might be. But when I'm watching it, I just can't see anything that he's working on, which is either he must be working on something. But if he is, I just don't think the players are listening.
Yeah.
Paul, can I ask you a question quickly? Do you feel that, I get what you're saying about the Spurs tag, and you made some really good points about, you know, the fact that we're so reliant on fullbacks, or Poch is so reliant on fullbacks, and Niall's been injured a lot. Despite all of that, obviously, look, Do you feel that maybe we have improved this season? Do you think that, you know, obviously we've scored more goals. We're on the same. I know it's mad to say we're on the same amount of points that Chelsea were on at the end of last season already, with 9 games to go. Do you feel that there has been an improvement? Do you think there is something there, or do you just feel that the relationship is too strained now for anything really to potentially come to fruition down the line?
I think there has been improvement. I mean, like you said, we scored more goals last season. Obviously, we just weren't finishing goals, and we do tend to get in the same similar positions, and we're taking our chances. I don't see much improvement. I think, you know, and the problem is because of that, we're not seeing much improvement. That tag's always going to stick. You know, I'm in the away end today, and, you know, it goes 1-1, 2-2, and straight away they're on him. You know. In this, that and the other, and calling in names and get this person off and get that person off, and, you know, it's negative. So I do feel for him in some sense, in terms of he's got that tag, and that's never going to go unless he wins something or he somehow turns this around. But I don't think, to answer your question directly, yeah, probably has been in some improvement, yeah, but not enough for me. I don't think enough to go, he's our man, you know, this is what's going to happen moving forward. You know, looking into, you know, let's face it, this season's pretty much done now, really. You know, we might, I don't know, I can't see us being City, you never know, but I can't see that happening. You know, and then it's done, really. And then we might scrape a European position, but we keep messing that up. Is there improvement? A little bit, but is he the man to take us forward, you know, into next season? And you look into next season, you think, is there anything going to change? I don't think anything's going to change. I think sometimes he can be caught out tactically. You know, watch him on the sideline sometimes. You can see he's getting frustrated, but I don't think he hammers that home enough. I'm driving home and I've just heard him on 5 Live, and, you know, the interview said to him, you know, what's the issue? What's going on? And his answer was, you know, something I can't remember quite, but it's something along the lines of, you know, these are tough games to come to. You know, it's never easy in the Premier League, you know, and it's all stuff like that. And you think, okay, he's going to have to try and, you know, defend the players. But, you know, to your point earlier that you made, that he never comes out and cusses anyone. He never points a finger at anyone. He never really sort of loses his temper. And I know it's not all about, you know, just losing your temper and pointing fingers at people, but sometimes you do have to come out and say, you know, that wasn't good enough. You know, these are reasons why. This is what I'm trying to work on. You know, give some hope, you know, to the fans to go, okay, well, he's working on something. He's trying something. You know, because unfortunately, you know, that tag's always going to stick with him. And I don't think he's done himself many favours to, you know, never come, you know, I don't want to get, sometimes I'll speak to my friend today saying, you know, he never comes over to the away end. And I don't get, you know, I sort of think, you know, sometimes that's just a, you know, it doesn't really mean much, but it actually does. Like, he comes over, just gives a clap and just walks off. But he doesn't even do, there's no real connection with him. And I don't think he's helped himself in that way. If we'd approved, if he'd have come in, I was actually quite excited when we got him. I thought, actually, what was out there, he was probably the best of the bunch. And I generally believe, you know, worked with young players at Southampton, done well with Spurs, got them to a Champions League final. I generally believe he would probably come in and probably be the manager for us. But I think, you know, even looking at him, you know, you can tell, you know, from what he looked like when he started to what he looks like now, we can tell it's getting to him. And I think, I just don't think he's getting the best out of the players. I get he's got injuries, there's injuries left, right and centre, but I just don't think he's helped himself.
Thanks, Paul. It was really good comment. Really appreciate you coming up. Really good points.
Yeah, great points, mate.
It's good to get some points from somebody who was at the game as well. So really, really appreciate that, Paul. Thanks a lot.
No problem. Thank you.
Do come back, because we'd love to have you back at some point. So, right. And so we've got Daniel Childs up. Top man, always respected views. It's good to have him up here. Always worth hearing from him. And Daniel, so you can unmute yourself. But I got a question I wanted to ask to start off with. And I know, because I know that you one of the big, you were a big advocate of Pochettino coming last summer. And I just want just I was just wondering to start just to start off this conversation, like given where we finished last season and like, you know, what happened last season, what were your kind of what were your realistic expectations of this season?
Hi, all. Yeah, thanks for having me on again. Yeah, I think my expectations were at least top eight based on the investment over the summer, the lack of European football, which I don't think has been capitalized on enough. I think anything above that always felt a little bit dreamy based on how far the club went back last season. And I think, you know, there were still some people who maybe assumed we could do a Chelsea of like the Conte years where we finished 10th and then you're having a title challenge the next year. I don't think anyone realistically expected it to be as high as that, but I definitely expected, based on the level of coach I believed we were getting and some of the things I saw during pre-season, that I think made me feel optimistic about the year ahead. You know, I didn't expect another mid-table year. I think that's fair to point out.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I was kind of the same. You know, I said earlier, 6th, 7th, kind of thought we'd get into Europe. Probably the Europa League. Maybe the Conference League. I didn't expect us to get into the Champions League unless we had a really, really good run and like some of our signings really took off. And you've got to remember, we haven't had Nkunku the whole season. And that is a big blow, but he's such a good player. I think he would have had a not a dissimilar impact to Cole Palmer if he'd been fit, but obviously we didn't have him. So what are your thoughts on today, on the game? What you saw of the game today?
Yeah, I thought it was a really, really bad performance. I think the worst thing about it was when you look at the fact that Sheffield United were better than us in terms of creating opportunities. I mean, this is the worst attacking side in the Premier League. This is the side bottom of the Premier League. They're the worst offensively. And I think one of the things that Pochettino, I think undeniably, has done this season is improve Chelsea's attack and then to go away to the worst team in the league and amass that low in XG and look so lackluster for so long. And again, it feels like we're relying on individual moments to kind of bail us out. It was a really shocking performance. And I think that, you know, these are things that we've so consistently seen, unfortunately, this season, of the team having these real lapses within the game, struggling and completely failing to manage situations when they're going a goal up early in the game or holding on to a lead, which we've seen against some very poor opposition over the past two weekends. So it was a really, really bad performance. I don't think that Pochettino can come out of this blameless. You know, my deep frustration goes above Mauricio Pochettino, and that's just like a broader thing because, you know, I do have deep concerns about this summer. I have deep concerns about even if he were to change the head coach, if the same strategy is applied again from the sporting directors, I think you're going to fall into similar traps again with an unbalanced squad that doesn't have a lot of leadership within it. And I think everyone can see that currently. Like this team is freakishly incompetent in terms of its inability to deal with situations. And, you know, I think today was just a stark example. And I tweeted about this post game where it's like, I don't know why fans are being unreasonable when they watch us fail to beat the bottom two teams in the Premier League, look so insipid and at times lifeless doing so, and just to sit back and go, well, it's part of like teething problems. Like, no, like the 1920 team, which I always reference, would, you know, for all their faults, a lot better than this, much, much better than this. And, you know, even Arsenal, when I came on, I heard you guys speaking about maybe the early years of Arteta, which, you know, is a fair comparison because at times they were like near the relegation zone. But I don't, for the amount of money that's been ploughed into this, that's the big difference between us and Arsenal a couple of years ago, and that's just the reality. And when you do spend that amount on a squad that no one forced this ownership to do, fans are going to have expectations, and I don't think they are unreasonable for at least just expecting that when you go up against the worst team in the league, you can competently beat them. I mean, I don't, and that's why I think a lot of the frustration is valid right now. It's not just about one result. It's about where the club's going, where it is currently, and do the people in charge have the knowledge or the capability to fix it?
Yeah, that's some good points, Daniel. Some good points, you know. And I mean, that's you're right. I mean, I didn't expect instant results despite the financial outlay, to be honest, because of where it was invested in terms of the age of the players. The comparison to the 1920 team is very interesting because the 1920 team had a lot of young players, but it also had a lot of experienced players. You had, you know, Willian, Pedro, Giroud, right? You had Rudiger, right? You had experienced players in the squad, right? Aspilicueta, right? All these players were kind of experienced, and they helped out all the younger players, right? And the younger players were able to make mistakes, but they got away with it because we had experienced players who could deliver the goods and could provide leadership and could, you know, set that example. You know, like Tammy Abraham had a bit of a, like in the second half of the season, Tammy Abraham had a bit of an off period in terms of form, and Giroud comes in and he comes in and scores the goals that help get us fourth place. And that's normal. Like, Tammy Abraham had a great season, but it was his first season and as a Premier League striker, certainly at Chelsea and the top club. And of course he was going to have a drop-off period at some point because he was young. What was he, 21, 22 at that point? So you have Giroud coming in who, like, that's just an example where you have an experienced player who can come in and just deliver those goods, like, when the inexperience kind of kicks in. And that's normal. Like, I always expect inconsistently from young players. I don't blame young players for being inconsistent. It's the nature of being a young player. But I wouldn't say experienced players, but players that you know are going to deliver 100%. That if they're in the team, you know they're going to deliver. Like, there's no doubt. They're not a project. You know they're going to deliver straight away. Like,
but I think I think that's the big criticism that's not based on hindsight. This is what people were talking about last summer when they were looking at the sheer number of young players we invested in and said, who's going to be there when Nicholas Jackson's going through a difficult period? And because he's very raw, and again, there's a lot of comparisons between Tammy's first year and Jackson's first year. And I find it quite funny that both players have been on the receiving end of real harsh criticism when I don't think it's really been granted based on, like, what was the expectation level of Jackson when he arrived. Like, I think he's actually exceeded expectation. No one expected him to come in and be Diego Costa. But I think his goal tally has been respectable. But, like, as Frank did, and again, that 1920 squad was not by design. That was by coincidence, and that was by, you know, the after effect of a transfer ban. But the fact is, this time round, it has been by design, and the fact that they didn't look throughout the squad and go, well, what we need is probably to get us through this season, we need someone. And I think Pochettino was even saying this in pre-season or early in the season, where he was saying, I would like some Premier League experience. I would like some players that can come in and do something, because I know that there are going to be periods throughout this season when Anoni Manawake, Mikhailo Mudryk, Nicholas Jackson, even a Cole Palmer who's been wonderful, you know, at times. You need players to bail those players out. And I think the issue is, my issue again about this summer is, you know, does the current hierarchy understand that? I'm not sure they do. I think they believe that they're just going to go ploughing through with the same strategy again. And we're going to be left with, sure, some more experienced players, because at the very least, this group has had a year in the Premier League. But where is the sort of the balance that is going to help those young players out. Because I'm like you, I feel very sorry for some of these young players, because I think they've been put under immense pressure and scrutiny to try and lead things. And some of them have, I think, sailed, like Palmer, because he's a wonderful talent. Others have really, really struggled. And I'm not sure this environment is great for young players' development. And that's my larger concern.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I have a lot of faith in these players, and I actually think they've got a good, when I say the word mentality, I think they have a good attitude. I think they want to win. I think they want to fight, and they've shown that they can come from behind many times. Man United, they showed that. But there's loads of times where we come from behind to get draws and wins. And that never used to happen at all. So there's definitely character in there, and there's...
they care. I do believe this group of players do care, and they do genuinely...
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. I think they care about the shirt. They care about the badge. They want to do well. I think they're being let down by other people. And that includes the sporting directors, I think. And that also includes Pochettino. He doesn't escape blame. I mean, I'm just sharing this quote from Pochettino. He said, the draw today is a fair result. This is a new team and we are learning. The process takes time. It is not a magic thing. It's a project. A 3 or 5 year process to build a team. Right, so now he's extending his time to develop this team to 3 to 5 years, right? And I understand what he's saying, but it feels like another excuse. And it's like, he wasn't saying that before, And but there you go. That's what Pochettino said. And the expected goals today, by the way, Sheffield United 1.53, Chelsea 0.44. So Sheffield United beat us on expected goals, which I just got no words at this point for stuff like that. But thank you, Daniel. Thank you for you made some really good points, as always. And I agree with a lot of what you said. I think fans have a right to be concerned about the state of the club and where we're going. And a right to know. I think, like, we follow this club. We put a lot of our time and our money and our energy and our emotion into this club. Like, we stick by the club through thick and thin. And we're going to be here forever. As long as we live, right? So, I think we're entitled to some kind of accountability, and. Yeah, we haven't got that as yet, and we need to start having some. So, right, this has been really great. We've been going for this has been a good show today. We've had some really good speakers up. Everyone who's come up has really contributed. Thanks to everyone who's come up. Lots of good, healthy discussion, I think, about Chelsea, about the game today, about all our concerns. And all of it is valid, and I think it's all important. And once we're finished here, if you want more Chelsea Echo content, your 5 minute reaction, 5 minute reaction is available above. Make sure to give it a good review, and if you've missed space, it'll be available tomorrow morning in full. So make sure you give that a listen. There'll be another one of these in the next game against Everton. I think it's Everton at home. So heaven help us. Good old low blocks again, eh? Everton just getting back into form before they play us. Always nice. So give all those a listen. Make sure you're following the Chelsea Echo on Twitter. Make sure you're connecting with all their content. It's really great. There's a great team. They do some great work. And there's lots of content available for you to listen to. So thanks everyone for being part of this. Thanks for this great conversation. Really fantastic, and disappointing result today, but we keep going, we keep following this club no matter what. And up the Chelsea.